We would be so very, very happy if you would visit readingwithyourkids.com/yummy. readingwithyourkids.com/yummy. Go there and find out about the easiest way to snack smart and do good. We're talking about Love with Food. Love with Food helps you discover new, organic, all-natural, and gluten-free snacks delivered directly to your door every single month. And membership starts as low as $7.99 a month. And this is why we love Love with Food so much. Love with Food will donate a portion of the proceeds to help fight childhood hunger in the U.S. and all around the world. Love with Food donates to organizations like Feeding America and the Global Food Banking Network. So join us to help end childhood hunger one meal at a time. Visit readingwithyourkids.com/yummy to say goodbye to boring grocery store selections and to start snacking smart and doing good with Love with Food.
This episode of the Reading with Your Kids podcast is brought to you by Jedley's totally interactive magic circus. Imagine a show where magic, illusions, comedy, music, and inspiration all come together as one. Imagine a show that has helped over 1 million young people and adults to change the way they approach life. A show that has shown people that being kind and respectful is fun. That show is Jedley's totally interactive magic circus. A transformative show that inspires young people to make healthy choices, be kind, and respectful. To find out more, please visit www.jedley.com or call 617-833-7063 today.
Reading with your kids.
Hola, ni hao, konnichiwa, welcome. My name is Jedley and this is the Reading With Your Kids podcast. So happy and delighted, as always, that you would take the time to be with us today. Thank you so very, very much. You know, I love being able to say hello in all these different languages. And I love the fact that we're living in a time where we're really encouraged not only to learn different languages, but to learn and get to know different people. It's a very different world than the world that I first started growing up in. I was very fortunate in that, you know, the whole change, you know, society was really changing when I was a kid growing up, born in the 50s, growing up in the 60s and 70s, and life, you know, the idea that we would be separated and just stick to your own kind of thing, that, especially in the Northeast of the United States, that idea was being pushed aside and replaced with an idea that we really should reach out and get to know people of all different faiths, of all different backgrounds, of all different nationalities. And I mention that today because we have a very special guest on today. 72 years ago today, on August 6, 1945, the United States dropped the first atomic bomb on the city of Hiroshima, or as many people say, Hiroshima, in Japan. And 3 days later, they dropped another on Nagasaki. A lot of controversy. There's a lot of people on both sides of the fence that we should never have done that. Well, if we didn't do that, then it would have been a bigger slaughter trying to go in, because the Emperor of Japan was never going to surrender, and it was the only way to stop the war. Or we, in fact, saved millions of lives by killing millions of people with the bomb. And, you know, I'm not here to debate that, but our guest, Kathleen Birkinshaw, has written a really incredible book. And I can't recommend this book anymore. I give it my highest recommendations. The name of the book is The Last Cherry Blossom. And it's, I think it's a really important book, and I think it's a really important book to share with your kids. I would say middle grade, maybe certainly seventh and eighth graders, certainly high school kids. But the story, it tells the story of Kathleen's grandmother, who was in Hiroshima when the bomb was dropped and lost most of her family and her friends. And thankfully, she survived. But the thing for me is that the story really helps you have some empathy and takes us out of that political discussion. Should we, shouldn't we have, and really just allows you to experience what happened on the ground. It is incredibly powerful. And we always talk about your books being a great way for our kids to learn how to empathize with others. I think The Last Cherry Blossom is an incredibly important book and a really important resource for parents to help your kids develop that sense of empathy. And it's really important nowadays because there's so much going on in our world. And even if your kids, even if you think your kids don't know what's going on in the world, believe me, they do know. You know, they're at school and they're hearing words like terrorism and refugees and immigration and illegals and undocumented and they hear these words and they hear them on television. They hear them on the radio. They hear them at the dinner table. And it's so easy because we as adults, and a lot of times as adults, because we're not really looking for justice, we're just looking to win. And this is on both sides of every issue. There are those people who are just looking to win and they're not looking for justice. It's so easy for those people who are the loudest to just put labels on people. And so to the point where we only see the label and we don't see the people. We need to help our kids understand that beneath all of those labels, there are people and we need to see those people. And if we're discussing these issues that revolve around human beings, and we need to see the human beings that are being affected. And I do believe it with it from the bottom of my heart, The Last Cherry Blossom is a wonderful way for us to do that. It's not scary. It's a scary topic, but The Last Cherry Blossom, it's a beautiful story. It's a beautiful story about love. There's a lot of love in this book, in friendship and kindness. And that's what makes it so poignant and so very, very important. And we're going to have Kathleen in just a minute. I'm just going to take a quick second. If your kids are not at the age where it's appropriate for them to read The Last Cherry Blossom, certainly you don't want first and second graders to try to take on this. May I suggest my book, The Great Maritini? The Great Maritini is a story about Sam, who is known as a great Maritini, a far-from-perfect magician. He tries really hard, but he's always making mistakes. But he never gives up on himself, and that's an important lesson for our kids to understand. Never give up on yourself. Have some resilience. And because of that resilience, Sam goes on to create some amazing transformations. But, it's when Sam gets off stage that he discovers that the greatest transformation of all is transforming feelings of caring into action to help another human being. I'm very proud that childrenspublishing.com just named The Great Maritini as a great book to teach kids about kindness. You can find out more about The Great Maritini on Amazon.com and on my website, readingwithyourkids.com. It's available as an ebook and also in print. Joining us on the line right now from beautiful Charlotte in North Carolina, she is the author of a really, really powerful middle grade book called The Last Cherry Blossom. Please welcome to the show Kathleen Birkinshaw. Kathleen, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm wonderful, wonderful. I was sharing with Kathleen, and I shared with you in the past that I don't have a chance to read all the books. Doing 4 episodes a week, and we're inundated with books and requests, and I also like just to read on my own. And I'm not one of those speed reading type people, so I don't read a lot of the books that come in. And for some reason, there was something about Kathleen's book that caught my attention, and I read it, and I was absolutely riveted. It just drew me in, and it was very, very powerful. And I want you to do it justice. So tell us a little bit about The Last Cherry Blossom, please, Kathleen.
Sure. Well, first, thank you for having me. And it basically is a story about a 12-year-old girl's family during the last year of World War II in Hiroshima. And it'll be through her 12-year-old eyes that the reader witnesses the horror of the first atomic bomb being used. And it's based on events in my own mother's life. She was 12 years old when the bomb was dropped. And I just started speaking to schools really about it, and then the idea of the book came along. So it was kind of a backwards way of getting into the book.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's, you know, as I'm reading this book, I was just drawn in. You know, I am a big lover of learning about other cultures. So we definitely learn about your mom's culture and what it was like growing up in Japan at that time, not only growing up during war, but just growing up in the differences there. And you learn about her, the relationships that she has. And there's so much about the book that's just so beautiful and touching on so many different levels. And literally, it wasn't, you know, I was kind of deep into the book before it, you know, I was kind of putting everything together because I'm kind of slow, but you know, and it was kind of like going, oh, this isn't going to end happily here. But it is important. It is important for us to take a look at that and to understand what happened.
I think what I really wanted to do and why that I did it the last year of the war and I didn't start with the bomb being dropped was for that very reason. I wanted them to see the culture, how the people lived, the relationships that were there, because part of my mom's thing too was that to show that she, even though she was in Japan, she had the same love for her family and her friends, the same fears that something would happen to them, and the hopes and wishing for peace as the Allied children had.
Mm-hmm.
So to kind of show that similarity and the feelings were there, and not much is really told from a 12-year-old point of view about life in Japan during World War II, mm-hmm. and then some of what happens afterwards. And I did try to throw in a twist within a family secret that's discovered right before the mm-hmm. bomb is dropped to kind of bring a little bit of a twist that people don't see coming, I would say.
Yes, and that was that was quite a twist, as a matter of fact. But the twist also, you know, it kind of, because of the twist, we see the relationships a little bit different, but then we just see that humanity and deep love that the different characters have for each other.
Yes, and I do end the book with hope, because there is hope, and obviously she made it to the United States and she had me, but there's hope at the end of the book. Mm-hmm. I didn't want it to be just one big, terrible thing that happened. I wanted them to learn a little bit more from the event itself, from the two paragraphs you get in a textbook.
Yeah.
In your history.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know if I mentioned it to you in an email or someone else. I think it's very, no matter where you end up on, what side you end up on, the whole debate as to whether or not the United States should have used this weapon. And there's certainly arguments on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important to understand the consequences of that decision. Because even if you think it's justified, well, mm-hmm. it's still a pretty horrific thing, and you need to understand that end of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And my main hope is so that it won't be used again now that we know mm-hmm. what can happen, not wanting to use it again, because our weapons are so much more powerful now than what mm-hmm. they were mm-hmm. In 1945.
Yeah.
And I think that's when I speak with schools, I describe what happened to my mom on the actual day, and what happened on that day and what I wrote in the book are exactly what she went through. And, you know, I let them know at the end of this, because of this bombing, we originally had 350,000 people that were in Hiroshima. 80,000 people died immediately or within hours of the bomb being dropped. And over the next 5 years, it was a total of 150,000 people were gone. And I was very blessed because my mom lived to be 83 and she was not sick. It was kind of miraculous, I mm-hmm. think. She mm-hmm. was not sick until the very end. And the bomb that dropped in Hiroshima was 15,000 tons of TNT for its power. Mm-hmm. But today, in the U.S. arsenal, our highest weapon has 1.2 million tons of TNT.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Whew. Well, yeah, I mean, it's just these things just kind of, you know, blow you away. And it's hard to imagine. I mean, just taking in the number, I'm working on my second children's book, and in it, and it's not tragic at all, except if you imagine me singing, because I do talk about that in the book.
Oh,
but it's based on a true story when I was performing at a school in New Jersey, and something that happened on stage when I was presenting my educational magic show. And oh. it's taken place in Union City, and I talk about Union City being this really vibrant city right across the river from New York City, and the fact that there are 85,000 people squeezed into 1 square mile of land. Mm. And to think that within hours, that city was gone when they dropped the bomb on Hiroshima. Mm-hmm. That mm-hmm. many people just disappeared.
Yeah.
And then, you know, ongoing, you know, then, you know, double that number. It's really, and I think the thing about your book that was really powerful for me, and it's something that I've tried to do with my kids in talking about the different conflicts that are going on right now. Mm-hmm. In your book, we get to see your mom, and we get to see her family, and when we do that, then we no longer can just look at it as through the numbers.
Yes.
We see that there are human beings that we can relate to, human beings that we share things in common with that exactly. experience this.
So true. That's really what I was hoping that the message would get across. And it's interesting because my mother was a very private person, and when I was growing up, she told me she was from Tokyo. She didn't uh-huh. even tell me she was from Hiroshima until I was about 9 or 10 years old. Mm-hmm. So, because she didn't want to talk about it. And when she came to the States in 1959, there was still a lot of prejudice from World War II, so she didn't want to bring attention to herself. Mm-hmm. So she never talked about it. But she would have these nightmares every beginning of August, and she'd wake up screaming. And she continued with those nightmares even all the way through her adult life. And when she finally did tell me what happened, she didn't want to discuss it again for quite a while. And it wasn't until I was then 31 years old when she started telling me more of what happened that day and mm-hmm. more of the happy memories that she also had mm-hmm. of her childhood. Mm-hmm. And she had this one picture that was always in a very honorable place, and it was of her and her papa. It's the one that's also in the book at the afterword.
Uh-huh.
And that was so special to her because she only had 5 pictures from her childhood. And the only reason she had those was because they were at the country house. And so they were all of her around 3 or 4 years old. Any of her more current ones would have been destroyed when her house was destroyed mm-hmm. From the bombing. So she always kept that. And her papa was very, very special to her. And from the stories that she has told me, she would... very special to him mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. And that's when I realized there's more to this story than just horror and destruction. You know, that's why I really wanted to delve into the culture, into the family life, as you said, to kind of put a face on the people under those famous clouds. Mm-hmm. So,
you know, as we're talking about this, I'm imagining that somebody is listening. And I know this from experience because, you know, some of the topics that I address in my educational magic shows, I mean, they don't come anywhere near as serious as this. And their parents are like, I don't want my kids talking about that. And it's like, you know, I'm at a different end of belief. But I'm wondering, for that parent who is sitting there saying, I don't want to read this book with my kid. I want this kid to read this book. How am I going to talk to my kid about this? What would you say to that parent?
Well, basically, I would also say that it's middle grade, but I really think fifth grade and up is better for it, only mm-hmm. because of some of the descriptions that I gave. That might be a little bit graphic, but I didn't want to be gratuitous with it, but I want it to be truthful. And I think if they read it along with them, even if they don't read it to them, they can discuss more so about the people and more so about realizing that the ones we think might be our enemy are not really so different mm-hmm. from ourselves, mm-hmm. which I think today is a very important message mm-hmm. that needs to be discussed with our kids. And I think that that can be a part of it. And yes, this happened in history and we don't want to repeat what happened in history. But in order to really do that, we have to know what happened. Mm-hmm. We can't, because as the people get older, as my mother was, and they pass away, the story goes with them. And it's so easy to forget mm-hmm. what happened. Mm-hmm. And that's why these stories need to be known and for the younger generation. My mother finally let me talk about it when my daughter was in seventh grade. And she had come home from school and said, you know, we're going to talk about the end of World War II. And some kids were talking about they couldn't wait to see those cool mushroom cloud pictures. And she asked if I'd go and talk to the to her class about the people under those mushroom clouds, like mm-hmm. her grandmother. And I think that's really what sparked in me, is that it'll be so easy to forget and only focus on some of the other things. And mm-hmm. and I think that this helps to talk about a lot of different subjects as well
yeah.
than just the bombing, and not needing to focus on just the bombing, but what hope can be brought from that as well.
Yeah, because, you know, obviously the bombing is the
right.
central feature of the book, you know, the kind of the ultimate action, but there is so much more going on, and yes. and I agree with you 100% that we have to put a face on, especially for our kids, we need to put a face on people that we're told are our enemies. Mm-hmm. It's so easy just to say oh they're the whatever, and the
right.
you know, when we do that, we're no longer talking about people, we're just talking about a thing or a group, and we need to kind of look beyond that and to see the person and to see what we share. And as you were speaking, I mean, I think one of the really hopeful things for me is understanding that, yeah, this terrible thing happened and there are atrocities on both sides.
Right.
But right now, Japan is one of our greatest friends.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
We've done a lot of things with international students, and that began with developing relationships with young Japanese women who come to Boston to
right.
show a university satellite campus here in Boston. And
yes.
It's just a beautiful thing. And these are young women that are, you know, we met them when they were 18 and 19, and then they're in their 30s right now, and we're still keeping in touch with them.
Oh, that's
and,
wonderful.
You know, so now as our kids are looking, and we're hearing about terrorism and all the horrible things that are going on today, there's hope, because it's, you know, it was in your mother's lifetime that yes. these two mortal enemies became friends.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow. Now, is there, obviously, you know, this is something that you felt you were meant to write about, and, you know, kind of, I don't get the sense that you sat down as a little girl thinking, I'm going to grow up and write this book, The Last Cherry Blossom.
No.
Now that it's written, do you have the bug? Are there more books in Kathleen Birkinshaw that we're going to be enjoying?
Yes, there are. And it's interesting, because when I was younger, I always liked to write poems. And I loved doing essay reports. I loved doing book reports. I really love to research things. So historical fiction really kind of works through what I really love to do. And I've always wanted to write. And this was my first real opportunity to write something. And I wrote it. Of course, you always want to be published, but I also wrote it so that at least my daughter would have it. She can carry that on from mm-hmm. family to family. But I really do enjoy writing, and I've gotten a lot of questions about, well, what happens to Yuriko, the main character, mm-hmm. At the end of the book? What happens from there? And so I'm working on something with a sequel that discusses some of the post-traumatic stress she may have gone through,
uh-huh.
which she had gone through, and there wasn't a name for it then.
Sure.
It,
mm-hmm.
as well as getting used to living in Tokyo and dealing with the occupational forces that are there. So I've been doing a lot of research for that, and I'm not going to link it too much with her actual stuff when she got older, because she didn't meet my father until later on. He was serving in the Air Force, and he was at a base near Tokyo, and that's how they met. And then they had gotten married in 59 and came to the United States. And she became a U.S. citizen within 5 years of moving down. And she ended up working for a company that built circuit boards for the Apollo 11 flight, which I always thought was very interesting. But she had to deal with her own prejudice, even in her own country, because they called them Habaksha, which were the survivors from the bomb. And people were very afraid because they didn't understand radiation. That was also new, the type of burns, the type of injuries and sickness that came afterwards. And a lot of people would not want a man to marry a woman from there or vice versa, because they'd be afraid of what kind of birth defects there might be down the line. So it was really a lot to deal with from both sides. One piece of it is that you just lived through this horrible event, losing people in your life, and then people don't want to talk to you about it, and they want to shun you because of the same event and that you had no control over, which to consider all that she went through and to still give so much love to me and then my daughter, I really feel that she is the strongest woman I'll ever know in my lifetime.
Well, I can't wait to read the sequel because, I did. I fell in love with her. I just can imagine that, and it again, you know, the Last Cherry Blossom is really just a beautiful, moving book, and there's a lot of emotion there. I'm not going to say that I cried while I was reading it at the gym on the elliptical. That didn't happen. That was just sweat going down. That was sweat. No, none of that. Don't even think that. But. But I think it's very important, and I definitely want to find out what happened to her and just feel that experience, because it is one of the things we talk about on the show is that when we read with our kids, and this is absolutely a book I think we should read with our kids, if not sitting down reading out loud, at least reading it simultaneously and talking about it.
Absolutely,
it's so important for us to help. To help our kids build up empathy for others. I think especially nowadays, because we hear about kids, you know, playing video games and they're shooting these characters and they're just shooting photons and these little images on the screen, and they have conversations through, well, they're not conversations, they send letters and parts of words to each other through texting and email, and they don't really spend a lot of time face to face. And I think it's real important for us all to really help our kids build that empathy and understanding for what other people are feeling and experiencing.
I completely agree. And I've heard from a lot of readers that their parents do sit down and read with them. And even if it's done in school, the children go back and they start talking about what they were reading in their book. So it does start some kind of communication. Mm-hmm. And that really touches me that that could happen and that my mother's story would resonate so much. It's just been a joy to speak to the classes, to hear what they thought about the book and how it might have inspired them, especially because I know the main character is based on my mom. So with her being gone, it's kind of a way to connect with her each time I talk about her books, the book. So.
Well, you've made sure that your mom isn't gone. She's very much alive in The Last Cherry Blossom, and very much alive in my heart, and in the hearts of everybody who's reading this book. Tell us, where can folks go on the web to connect with you, find out more about The Last Cherry Blossom, and the other things that you're going to be coming out with?
Sure. It's at www.kathleenberkenshaw.com. And on there, there's information about visits to school, Skype visits, as well as I have a discussion guide that I put together for teachers to use when the book is being read. Mm-hmm. And I also can be found on Twitter, which is at KLBerkenshaw1. as well as on Facebook on author Kathleen Birkinshaw. And that's, I try to hit both all of those when I'm going to be doing something. And I hope that I get to meet more readers out there, either by Skype or in person. It's just been so fun because I recently Skyped with a class in Sydney, Australia, which blew me away that the story could actually be read over there as well. So that was very, very nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I am so happy that you reached out to me. I'm so happy that I read The Last Cherry Blossom. I strongly, strongly encourage everybody listening to definitely check it out. Even if you have little babies right now, buy the book, read it, and then put it in your library because it's something that your kids are going to want to read when they get to those middle grades.
Thank you so much.
Kathleen, I'm so happy that you joined us today. Thank you so very, very much.
I'm so happy that I was here too. Thank you so much. I really appreciate all that you said. Thank you.
Please be sure to join us for the next edition of the Reading With Your Kids podcast. Our guest will be Francie Healy. Francie, the author of Eat to Beat Alzheimer's, will be here to help us learn how to make delicious pumpkin pancakes. Hey, I want to thank Kathleen Birkinshaw for being with us today, and I want to thank you. Thank you so much for spending so much time with your kids, for reading with your kids, for helping your kids develop that important sense of empathy for others. Hey, I'll be looking for you in the next edition of the Reading With Your Kids podcast.